Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, let's start this episode with the new sheriff in town, or at least the new sheriff on the offensive line, you might say. Mike McCarthy announcing at the beginning of the week that J.C. Tretter has earned the starting job at center, with Corey Linsley not able to come back yet in training camp from that hamstring injury. What do you make of this change?
Well, he certainly deserves the job, and it is a tough situation to be in because the Packers, as they've alluded to so many times over the last 2 years, they really do have two starting centers, two guys that are both very capable at it, different body types, but both really solid guys at that position. But for Tretter, given the situation he was placed in, he's handled all the first-team reps at that spot dating back to May. He has done everything that you want to see in him to have that confidence that for him to take that job going into the regular season. And the long road he's traveled, I think there's some vindication in it for him to be able to get back to that starting position.
Yeah, when you talk about that long road, you go back to his rookie year. He comes in as a fourth-round pick out of Cornell, out of the Ivy League. His first OTA practice, he breaks his leg in a fumble recovery drill, of all things. His rookie season essentially becomes a wash with what he has to recover from there. Then his second season, he's the starting center for all of OTAs, all through training camp to the third preseason game, and he injures his knee. Not a season-ending injury, but a bad enough injury that he's going to be out for a while. Corey Linsley, a rookie fifth-round pick out of Ohio State, steps in and takes the job and doesn't give it back for two years. Now, call it irony, call it coincidence, whatever you want to say. Now, J.C. Tretter is getting the job back because of an injury to Corey Linsley. And I thought an interesting thing that he told you in the story you wrote on the website earlier this week. He didn't look at this situation with Linsley being injured as, oh, if I do everything right, I'm going to be the starter.
Right.
He just came to work to do his job every day, and in the process of doing his job every day, he got himself a new job.
This was a personal challenge for J.C. Tretter because he's shown he could kind of be a jack of all trades. They played him last year at left tackle in Washington, stepped up and did a really solid job in
Absolutely.
That position, even though he's playing, you know, a position in the NFL that doesn't necessarily translate to his body type.
Yeah.
And he stepped in three games last year at center, played fine. But for him to actually go an entire camp at that one position and show that, you know what, I can be an NFL starting NFL center in this league, that was what he wanted to accomplish. And as he also said, him being named the starter isn't necessarily the end of the road. There's still a long way for him to travel here. But being able to get that, as he said, he'd be lying if he wasn't excited. But now it's about taking that opportunity and really capitalizing on it going forward.
Yeah, and I don't know about you. I don't see this as something that is going to be a big factor in terms of the chemistry on the offensive line or anything like that. We saw J.C. Tretter step in for three games as a starter at center last year before the switch out to left tackle in the playoffs. The Packers' offensive line didn't miss a beat with him in there, and I don't think there's really going to be anything the fans necessarily are going to notice about the offensive line being any different.
No, absolutely. And if you think about it, he's had almost two full off seasons, two full springs and summers of working next to Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, and snapping to Aaron Rodgers. He did it in 2014 up until, as you mentioned, the knee injury, and he's done it this entire summer as well. So from a chemistry perspective, I think he showed that he can really fit into whatever role they have for him, and if it is center, that's something he can thrive with. His athleticism at that position is probably what stuck out to me the most. He's not as big as Corey Linsley is in terms of, you know, just a road grader. But he's so athletic, and he can seep into that second level so well. And watching those, you know, the run plays that they had in the Oakland game, how he was able to seal on a couple blocks with Josh Sitton, he looks the part, and he finds a way. And I think that's something that you have to commend him for, that he's put himself in a position, after being a left tackle and a tight end at Cornell, to be a legitimate candidate for that starting position at center.
Yeah, and we heard from offensive line coach James Campen earlier this week, and he echoed some of the same comments that he made to me during the spring. When you talk about J.C. Tretter, the first thing that James Campen ever says is, the guy is a true professional. And when you talk about the road he's gone down, that he lost his job, but he didn't complain. He came to work every day and did what he was supposed to do. He filled in admirably anytime he was asked to fill in, at wherever he was asked to fill in on the offensive line. He's the definition of a true pro. And Not that anybody wants to see anything bad happen to Corey Linsley, but this is J.C. Tretter's reward for being that guy.
You got to isolate the two, because it obviously is a difficult situation when you have a guy go down with injury and another guy take over the role. But I thought one of the things that really spoke volumes about J.C. Tretter, he wasn't an undrafted rookie. He wasn't a guy that just came in. He was a fourth-round draft pick, yep. And he did. He was anointed as the starting center when Evan Smith left to go to Tampa Bay.
Right.
So for him to sort of relinquish that role in the way he did and not get it back, it never became an issue in 2014, right. And I think that probably speaks to the kind of the chemistry in that offensive line room, and also to J.C. Tretter, that he really didn't have any sour grapes about it.
Yeah, well, let's revisit that issue of chemistry on the offensive line and the offense in general. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, continuing with our discussion of the offensive line, these first two preseason games, you have to like what that offensive line has done, that first unit with the running game, the way the Packers have come out in each of those first two games and established the run, wanting to run the ball. And it seems to be a message, a theme that Mike McCarthy wants to get across about his offense in 2016.
Yeah, and I go back to an interview that our Larry McCarron, I've always wanted to say that our Larry McCarron, Packers.com's Larry McCarron, did with TJ Lang, where Lang mentioned that from the start of the offseason program, going back to April, Mike McCarthy made it very clear that they were going to run the ball better this year, and we're going to run the ball more this season, and needing to establish that tone. I think we've seen that in the first two preseason games with that first team offense and offensive line, and they've done a really terrific job at it. I mean, you look at Ben Sherman's, the running backs coach, touched on it when he met with the media earlier this week. Eddie Lacy carried the ball on 9 of his 14 reps, didn't have to come out, got 45 yards out of it, was incredibly productive. So, I mean, those are the signs you want to see this time of the year, and also probably reemphasizes the fact that the Packers are looking to pound the football this season.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the flip side of that, too, is they're determined to stop the run.
Right.
The way the defense has come out, that Oakland rushing offense with Latavius Murray, I know it's just preseason, but other than maybe one run that leaked out, there was nothing going on at the line of scrimmage for Oakland's running game. And I think the stop the run is a correlation to the run the football. It's about controlling the line of scrimmage in those facets, and the rest is going to come along. And I think we're going to see that right from the get-go in week one this year.
The Packers, I know a lot of people have asked and been curious about the defensive line and the defensive front for the Packers this year, and kind of, I don't want to say nervous, but, you know, it's a new line. There's young guys. It's unproven. But at the same time, I do like the change of pace there. I mean, the Packers, when you look at it just with their run defense, I don't think it's been statistically where they've wanted it to be the last three, four seasons now.
No.
They change things up in there. You move LaTroy Guyon back inside to his strongest position. Mike Daniels, as we've talked about before, I thought has done a tremendous job against the run. And we talk so much about his pass rush, but how he's really rounded out his game is impressive. And a lot of new blood there, too. So it is. There's a lot of unknowns, but I think there's also a lot of potential in that front.
Yeah. If the Packers can establish what they want to at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, obviously that bodes well, because if you look at the overall strength on both sides of the ball, you have Aaron Rodgers pulling the trigger,
right,
and you have a secondary that is as deep as maybe any in the league in terms of stopping the pass with nickel and dime and all sorts of sub-packages. But it goes back to these first two preseason games and coming out on the very first series and Mike McCarthy lining up and saying, here we come with our running game, with our 235, 240-pound, whatever Eddie Lacy weighs right now. But here we come with our running game, and this is who we're going to be.
Without the threat of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And without the threat, in most cases, of even Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
It's pretty apparent what the Packers are trying to do, and yet they're still forcing their will upon the opposing defense. And we hear Dom Capers talk so much about the correlation between passer rating, both your own against the opposing team. But I think there's something that could be said, too. I don't know if it's as strong as a win-loss, you know, perspective. But running the ball and being able to stop the run and having that ratio go in your favor, that's critical. Not only for just trying to establish the rhythm of an offense, but trying to continue that momentum throughout the course of the season. And I think that's one of the things when you look at 2015, the Packers weren't able to consistently run the ball enough. They did some things to make up for that when you look at the screen game. But offensive linemen want to run the ball. Everybody mentions it. James Campen, talking to us earlier this week, mentions it. That's where they set the tone of a game. And being able to do that so far, again, we don't know how much we're going to see Eddie Lacy here the rest of the way for the preseason.
Right.
But seeing what he's done and then adding in James Starks into that, I don't think you can help but be excited about what's possible there for the offense.
Yeah, and when you look at the history, you mentioned the history of stopping the run on the defensive side of the ball. Dom Capers' first year here in 2009, the Packers were number one in the league at stopping the run, and that was also the year that they had right in there, 2009, 2010, when the defense was one of the top in the league in generating turnovers.
Right.
And I think those two things go hand in hand. If you stop the run, and make the other team one-dimensional, as they say, and then you have the ball hawks in the secondary to get their hands on passes and stuff, that's when the turnovers start to happen. You get the strip sacks when you get pressure on the quarterback, all those things. It all goes hand in hand, and Mike McCarthy, you know, talks about get back to the basics, and fans don't like necessarily to hear those cliches, but the basics for this team, run the ball and stop the run, and everything else will go from there.
Those are the most successful defenses Dom Capers had in Green Bay when you can do both of those things. And they did, as you mentioned, a tremendous job of stopping the run those first two seasons. They've always been able to turn over the football. It's just something they've, you know, I think when you look at that statistic, they're first in the league since 2009 by like 16 in turnovers generated or interceptions generated. But being able to mix in the run component to it, that's what makes them truly one-dimensional, where now offenses are having to pick their poison of how they're going to attack you. And as we talked about, too, when you look at the offensive perspective, Aaron Rodgers, when they were at their best in 2014, Rodgers and Lacy clicking, you know, everything working in the right direction. So
absolutely,
it's going to be a long road. You have to commit to it every single week, and you can't let up on those fundamentals. But for, as far as a start's concerned, this is definitely the starting foundation that you're looking for.
Yeah, setting the tone here in training camp for a long season, 16 games, and then hopefully playoffs. So, well, preseason game number 3 in San Francisco is on deck, and we'll talk about that after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, the trip to San Francisco for preseason game number 3. All indications are this will be the game and probably the only game that Aaron Rodgers gets preseason action. Excuse me. What do you expect from number 12 on Friday night in San Francisco?
Yeah, and as if history is any indication, this is where not only Rodgers, but you're going to see a lot of the mostly the defensive, offensive stars. Anyone that is going to be playing meaningful snaps for this Packers team, this is usually where it ends. It's mostly the UFAs and rookies that will be competing in the last game. So from Rodgers' perspective, to be honest with you, seeing what he's done in practice so far, and I know everybody, all the Packer fans out there haven't been able to get out there for each one this summer, but he already looks like he's ready to go. So, at 32 years old, and now as far into the NFL as he's been at this point, there's certainly some chemistry, there's some rhythm. Alex Van Pelt even talked about, you know, maybe even getting the first hit in there, you know, just as far as kind of getting you up and ready to go for a season. So I really don't know ultimately what the huge big picture thing is. I don't think I'm just educated enough to answer that. But from what we've seen so far, if Aaron Rodgers continues what he's done in practice here this first month of training camp, I have no reason to think that this team and this offense isn't going to be going in the direction the Packers want it to go.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Rodgers may, if he's not necessarily interested in playing a lot in the preseason, I think he'll say, okay, I'll take the field Friday night. If I drive us down for a touchdown on the opening possession, then maybe my preseason is over, and that would be what number 12 would want. He's talked about how he doesn't completely dismiss preseason games.
Right.
But he's talked about how defenses in the preseason are playing vanilla stuff. It's plain. They're not giving a lot of complicated looks. He gets more complicated looks and more of the mental challenges of how to defeat a defense in practice
right.
than he does in a preseason game. Because when you've been in the league as long as he has and you've seen everything that he has, if you just walk up to the line and like, okay, this is like straight cover two and, you know, or whatever the case is.
Sure.
That's not something that is necessarily going to help him get ready for the regular season, because the regular season is going to be much more complex.
I think just everyone has to understand that you have Aaron Rodgers and then you have the rest of the team. And, I mean, he's been in the league since 2005. That's not to say that he's old by any means, but in terms of he's seen a lot and he's been through a lot. And he's played in those preseason games when he did need to play well to establish himself as an NFL quarterback. We're past that point. I mean, there's NFL veterans, and then there's Aaron Rodgers. So for him to go out there, again, as you said, I put it at two right now as far as the number of series. If he does score on that first one, I would think that would be enough for the day if that's what the Packers so choose. So, we don't know if we're going to see Jordy Nelson or not. That's the one thing I could make a case for, is if it comes down to building a tempo with him again. But the rest of it, I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw a lot of passes last year to a lot of different receivers that weren't with the Packers during training camp. So what exactly you can expect in week 15, I don't know if there's any correlations to what happens in the preseason.
Right, I agree. And with Jordy Nelson, we don't know if we're going to see him in either of these last two preseason games. The main thing is he has to be ready.
Right.
And based on what we've seen, you know, he went through the pregame warmups against Oakland. So far this week in practice, we've just seen him do the individual drills and not even necessarily a whole lot of full speed stuff. Doesn't look like a guy who's going to be thrown out there into a game. At this point, I would not be surprised if the first time we see Jordy Nelson in a game setting is in Jacksonville in week one.
And I know a lot of people have talked about, well, you know, he was shooting for the preseason. Yeah, but then you have the hiccup with the knee that happened during the offseason. And I mean, the biggest thing is he has to be as close to 100%, if not 100%, as he can be for September 11th in Jacksonville. So for him, I thought Alex Van Pelt talked about it a little bit when he met with the media this week. It is important. They are taking reps, just Rodgers and Nelson during practice right now. When the other quarterbacks are doing stuff, the receivers are doing other things, those two working together, because that is the battery of this Packers offense. That's where everything starts and stops. And as you saw last year, when Nelson wasn't in that lineup, it does change life for everyone. So you need to have him there, and you need to do everything you can do to get him ready for week one without putting him at risk.
Yeah, and I think the most important work that Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson are going to get is during the week one practices leading up to the Jacksonville game, which are the practices we're not going to see. Those
right.
are going to be closed. It's not going to be the big public display at Reinicke Field. I trust that Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson are going to get the work that they need to get ready for week one, but also keeping in mind that it is a long season. Week one is not the be-all and end-all of 2016.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of passes between those two already. I don't know what another five or six are going to do in an endgame setting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll come back with one more segment on Packers Unscripted. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, let's touch on an experiment that the NFL is conducting this preseason, conducted during all the week two preseason games, which was the Raiders game for the Packers. An eighth official on the field. They're calling him the middle judge, lining him up in the defensive backfield, kind of next to the back judge to watch some things in the middle of the field. Now, this is an experiment. They're going to study all of the results and all the film and how things went, and then the league will or will not make a recommendation to the competition committee in the off season as to whether they think they should go from a 7-man crew to an 8-man crew for officiating. What do you make of all this?
It's interesting. It certainly is that. I think, especially when you and I talked about it, with them adding in the chop block rules and taking that out of the game, I can also see why you'd want to have another guy with his eye on the lines. At the same time, I think there's also, you want to warn against having too many officials out there, because then suddenly you get a lot of different eyeballs and a lot of different perspectives. And I wonder at times if that's gonna if that could potentially lead, you know, to more conflict and longer delays and things like that. So, but if in terms of just testing this out, you know, I think as you said, they did it throughout the league in week two. It is an interesting concept, and I, more than anything, I guess I'll be interested to see what gets brought to the competition committee, because I think that's usually at the NFL owners' meetings that we get the,
yeah,
the feedback
in the,
on
in the
that,
springtime.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do find this interesting as well, because I've said in conversations I've had with folks and in pieces, you know, chats and stuff online with fans, that the NFL, with when you combine the regular rules and what is and isn't a catch and all this kind of stuff with all of the safety rules, defenseless receiver and chop blocks and all of this kind of stuff, they're asking these officials to watch an awful lot at full speed, you know, with some of the best athletes in the world. And an extra set of eyes or two, will it make the field a little more crowded? Yeah, maybe it will. But that extra set of eyes or two might be a good thing. The number of rules, the thickness of the rule book, and what these guys are asked to watch for on a play-by-play basis, I think has gotten infinitely more complicated than it was 10, you know, even 5 years ago in some respects. And so I think these types of experiments are something that the league is going to continue to do to see if they can improve the officiating on the field and maybe not have to rely on replay reversals so much to get things right.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind, too, as they've added rules, as there's been greater emphasis that they've thrown out there, they don't take anything away.
No.
It's not getting more lax. It's just making everything more complicated. And we sat in on the Rules Committee meeting when the referees came and explained the changes that they made for this upcoming season.
Right.
And for me, just sitting there, it's difficult to digest. I understand these guys study this thing like, you know, a college professor, but it's still, there's a lot of stuff you have to know there, and you have to be on the top of your game and make decisions in the, you know, blink of an eye.
Yeah, and there is the eye in the sky, there's replay, but we also know that replay doesn't cover everything.
Right.
And these guys are being asked to do a lot, and if there's an extra set of eyes that maybe helps to get a few more things right, that can help boost the public confidence, the team's confidence in what the officials are seeing out there. So an interesting story to follow as we go along. But that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, at Wes Hodd on Twitter, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.